awesome? Isn't that amazing to know that? Listen, I get pumped. So for the last few weeks here at Delaware Christian Church, we have been talking about the crux, which is the moment in life that is crucial for us, crucial in life, can either make you or break you. And we have been looking at the seven words of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus spoke seven words, and either through my sermons or through Facebook Live, we have shared some devotions with you that focus on those. Jesus said, for example, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, or you be with me in paradise, to one of the thieves on the cross. And he said, I thirst, which is part of the passage that we will focus on today. And today I will talk to you about the last word recorded in the book of John, which is this, John chapter 19, verse 30. It is finished. It is finished. It is done. There is nothing that nobody else can do. I believe in the words of Jesus that say it is finished. See, here in the world today, there's two kinds of Christianity. The Christianity that believes on the do, and the Christianity that believes on the done. Here at Delaware Christian Church, we participate on the done Christianity because we believe that whatever needed to be done by God through Jesus was accomplished in the cross of Calvary. Jesus' words in the cross was, it doesn't matter what you think, I already got it accomplished. I think it is important for us to understand a little bit about this word, it is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. No one can add to it. No one can take away from it. Even better, no one needs to try to do anything or to take it away from it because it is complete. It is done. See, the cry after 6 hours on the cross, Jesus spoke few times in there, but he spoke with a loud voice and he let out with his spirit and he yelled out loud, it is finished. I want you to note this, okay? This is not a cry of someone who was defeated. No, this is not. This is a cry of someone who came to accomplish few things, and he got it accomplished in the cross of Calvary. This is a cry of someone who was victorious, someone who won the battle. It is done. It is finished. It is a cry of someone who paid the price and finished the work he came to do. And the truth of its word, the Greek word, is the word tetelestai. I can't speak English, let alone Greek, right? But this word has this very vivid expression that is found in a few different ways. Let me explain it to you. This word was used by a servant. It was a servant word. Used when a task was accomplished, when a task was finished. As we do it in the house, we're cleaning the house, and when we're done cleaning, we say, it is finished. It is a word of a priest when he was going to be sacrificed, and he would look for the animal that was worth the sacrifice, and he would say, it is done, it is finished. It is the word of a farmer used when an animal was born and was perfect. It was a great example of an animal. The farmer would look and say, it is finished. It is the word of an artist who would paint a canvas and make this beautiful art. And at the end of it, he would look at it with delight and say, it is finished. It was a word of a merchant who would bargain with someone who came to buy a customer. That's the word I'm trying to find, a customer. They would come to negotiate. They would bargain and negotiate a price, and when they're done with the price, when they are done negotiating, they agree on a price, they would look at each other and say, all right, agree, the deal is done, it is finished. When Jesus cried, when he made this cry, he was telling us that the price had been paid, salvation had been finished, and that God was satisfied with the price that has been paid. And then now, we, followers of Jesus, can benefit and enjoy from the work of Jesus done on the cross of Calvary. We can now enjoy abundant life in the here and now. We are victorious as Jesus was over pain, suffering, and the challenges that we face in life, including shame. We don't have to feel rejected or abandoned or alone or depraved. That's not our reality, because our reality is victory in the name of Jesus. And the resurrection is the result of the finished work of God, the finished work of Jesus in the cross. See, here's the thing what I have found, is that in Christianity, as followers of Jesus, many people don't believe that Jesus is competent enough to finish what he had started. They don't believe that these words of Jesus really came through to them. They don't believe in that Jesus is competent. They want to do some stuff to get into salvation. They got to do some stuff in order to gain God's blessing. And life is not going well. And we say, well, I got to do some things for getting God's blessing. Or maybe I'm not saved. So I got to do some things here and some things there. Listen, the Bible is clear. Jesus' words on the cross is clear. It is finished. There is nothing you can do. Let me give you an example. My wife and I, we have been together for about 16 years. 23 for me, 16 for her. It's the other way around, I'm sure. But we are given the opportunity at one time to buy a house, right? And we were so excited, and we were looking at this house, $160,000. We were like, man, we're excited. We can have our first house. And like, you know, all the excitement about getting a new house, right? You remember that? So we are all excited. And so we go to the bank and to ask for the loan. And the bank look at us and say, like, listen, I don't think you can, for the income you make and whatever's going on in your life, I don't think you can borrow $160,000. You can definitely borrow $100,000. Like, $100,000 won't buy me a house. Don't you understand that? See, here's the thing. Sometimes we think we can get some things done. In reality, we cannot. We are fools sometimes to think that we can get some things done. And in reality, we can't. Well, so we borrowed $100,000. And a friend of ours advised us, there's this little house, cost $36,000. You can buy it and then put the rest of the money in the house and remodel it. If you put a little bit of sweat equity on it, man, it's going to be awesome. You can, you know, it's going to be great for you. I don't know if you know anything about Pastor Sam Rosa, but I'll tell you one secret. I am not a handyman. When he said a little sweat equity, you know what I heard? A lot of YouTube videos. Watching YouTube videos to try to figure out how to do things, right? So I said, you know what? I can do that. I can definitely do that. So we got bought the $36,000 house, and we started the remodeling. I got a projector on the wall, YouTube videos. How to demolish this, how to demolish that, how to frame this, how to frame that. And I soon found out that there's not enough YouTube videos to go around. But I was set to do this bathroom, right? I wanted to do this bathroom, and I want to do it. So I watched all these YouTube videos, and one day, I was really busy at the church that I was working at the time, and there was a lot of things going on. And 2 days later, I come back to the house, and the bathroom that I wanted to do was done, was finished, completely remodeled. I looked at it, and I was mad. I watch all those YouTube videos for no reason. Are you serious? Like, it was done, it's finished, it was perfect, it was there, there was nothing I had to do. And here's the thing. When you find that something is finished, there's just two attitudes that you can have. You can either be grateful, thankful, and praise, or you can reject the gift that was given to you. And in the cross of Calvary, Jesus come to you and say, there's no more YouTube videos, all right? It is done. You can only accept and live it and rejoice in it and celebrate it and be grateful about it, or you can reject it. There's no other way around it. It is finished. There's nothing you or I can do. It has been done by Jesus. We here at Delaware Christian Church, we celebrate the done, the acts of Jesus in the cross. He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death. He resurrected from the dead. He ascended to heaven and will come again. Jesus went through it all so that you and I could be victorious over the devastation, the shame, and the challenges that we experience in our lives. because of the evil one. I love Romans. I love Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13. Here's what Paul says. He says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you heard? Can you read it with me? Like, there is nothing you can do. It is about believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. It has been done. Salvation belongs to God. For with the heart one believes and it is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and it is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. Wow. But there's always one word here that catches me. I don't know about you, but there's one word here that catches me every single time I read this passage. It is the word shame. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in my life that I'm ashamed of. There's a lot of things that I have done in my past between alcoholism, addictions in general, drugs, or whatever that might be, that I have done that brings shames to me. And the enemy is the first one to point in my own life the shame. And sometimes people around me remind me of my shame. But that's not the case with God. It doesn't matter what brings shame to your life. God is not the one pointing a finger on it. For the opposite of that. You can live in shame, or you can live in an alternative way that Jesus himself provides for you and I, that is found in John 10:10. John 10:10, we says this: Jesus speaking to his disciple, and he says, the thief, the evil one, approaches with malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, to destroy. That's what the enemy does. If there is an area of your life that is dying or being slaughtered or being destroyed, if there is something going on in your life that does not bring life, it is not a work of God. If shame is being highlighted, that's not God doing it. Jesus goes on and say, but I came to give life. A life with joy and abundance. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep in his care. See, there is alternative way of living with God. But we are often facing challenges in our lives, aren't we? We are often facing challenges like our emotional issues, like depression and that leads to suicidal thoughts and death. And we face challenges that comes on mental issues like anxiety, leading to sadness and feeling of hopelessness. Maybe it's a physical issue like cancer, leading to chronic fatigue and loss of focus and memory. Maybe it's a challenge that is a social one. Maybe there's a family dispute leading to overwhelming feelings of worthlessness and guilt. Maybe you're facing a challenge on your financial life. Maybe you're like here with credit card debt and it's keeping you from providing to your family. And while we are going through all of these, we feel confused and we feel tired. We feel abandoned and exposed and unsafe and insecure, rejected, unworthy, consumed by the lack of hope for a better future. How many of you guys have been there throughout the year? I myself sometimes find myself asking God to come and rescue me from the difficult challenge that I face in my life every day. See, sometimes we are like Mary Magdalene. On John chapter 20, verses 11 and 13. Can you identify with Mary on this passage? Jesus is, one of these days you will. Because life is real. I wish I could protect you, buddy. I tell my kids all the time, growing up is a trap. Nobody told me what I was facing, right? Right? Mary. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stopped and looked into the tomb. Let me tell you, here's Mary Magdalene. She just got a miracle from Jesus, right? And she's a faithful follower of him, and she gave it all for him, right? She had And she follows Jesus and see the crucifixion. She see all the pain, all that Jesus went through. And she want a little bit of a comfort. And she was going to the tomb to cry a little bit because she needed comfort. And she gets there. The tomb is open. The body's not there anymore. The little hope of comfort that she had is now gone. There's no hope. The body's not there. So she looked into the tomb and she saw the two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. And one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Mary was in the same place we find ourselves often, in desperate place and hopeless places, looking confused and senseless. But John 10:10 that we just read tells us that there is alternative to that that comes through Jesus to us, that we don't have to live hopeless life, confused life, senseless life. There is abundant, plentiful, and joyful life we can live, and that is only possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. I love this passage because there is more of God to us. It is done. It is finished. It's for us to celebrate and rejoice in it. See, the resurrection teaches us that when everything in life seems to be lost in flames, when all hope is gone and life seems to have found its end, and desperations walk in, the cross still remains. Can I say that again? The resurrection of Jesus teaches us that when everything in life seems to be lost in flames, when all hope is gone and life seems to have found its end and desperation walks in, I need to tell you this, the cross still remains. You might ask, why the cross? The cross, why the cross, Pastor Sam? Let me tell you this, the cross stands today as a symbol of our victory, often used to crucify the worst of our society. Jesus took his instrument of death with great humility, rescued mankind from the death grips on eternity. He carried his cross all the way to Calvary, the King of the Jews on display for everyone to see. The final sacrifice for sinners like you and me. He carried his cross away upon Golgotha's hill. Soldiers waiting in preparation to kill. Good Friday he died, but Sunday's coming still. Let me let you in a secret. He died from his own free will. We are alive in Christ for whom called upon his name. He bore our sins in death and took away our shame. The cross is a great reminder that after pain, suffering, desperation, desolation, hopelessness, when depression brings emotional distress, we ought to remember that the cross still remains. When all is lost and your hope goes up in flame, remember the cross still remains. When depression and anxiety shows up at your door, remember that the cross still remains. When the rubble of life brings destruction to the likes of Notre Dame, God is present. And you ought to remember that the cross still remains. The rest of the passage that I read for you in John chapter 20, we have the second part of this story that is a reminder that resurrection, there is power and hope and restoration to the resurrection of Jesus. And this is what we read. Having said this, Mary, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God, your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. When life throws a curveball at you, when depression knocks at the door, when death knocks at the door, when chemotherapy takes all the strength away, when cancer comes to destroy, when anxiety comes to overwhelm you, remember the resurrection of Jesus, that the cross is still remain. There is hope for a better future in Jesus Christ. The cross ought to remind us that we are victorious as Jesus was over sin, death, and its earthly consequences. I want you to remember this statement. When hope goes out in flames, always remember that the cross still remains. Father God, we put ourselves before you. Life is real. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. Cancer is real. Family disputes are real. Father, financial issues, they are real. And the promises that comes to us and through your word is that there is a better alternative to life. That salvation is not only something that we experience in the future. It's something that we experience right here and right now. And the Bible promises us that life here on earth will be full of joy. So help us to remember that your work in the cross of Calvary has been done. That salvation is ours to celebrate. But also, help us to walk in the freedom that comes from you to us. There is nothing we can do. That everything has already been done by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.